Good morning. Wow. What a wonderful way to join in worship of our God. Something just happened. Oh, there it's back. All right, thank you. The scripture this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 12. I invite you to turn there if you have your Bible with you. In that day, you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Christmas is a time of rejoicing. Christmas is a time of year when we're reminded that our God is great, who offers salvation to all his people everywhere through his Son, Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed how the attitude of many people becomes lifted during the Christmas season? There seems to be some sort of magic that takes place in the lives of people. People who are fussy become mellow. People who are disagreeable become agreeable. People who are sentimental, filled with all kinds of love at Christmas season, and sometimes they're not. The fact is that there's something special and something sentimental that occurs during the Christmas season, something that touches the lives of everyone who has ever heard the name of Jesus mentioned in any way. It isn't magic. It isn't mystical. It's the realization of mankind that God, at a certain point some years ago, supernaturally intervened into the lives of man and provided a hope for despair. Now, before you think that I have gone completely off my rocker preaching about Christmas in July, just prior to the celebration of Independence Day, let me say this. Isaiah chapter 12, our scripture for today, is a messianic psalm in which the prophet is rejoicing in the salvation which God makes available to his people. Why should we let a particular time of year, a particular time on the calendar, limit us from joining with the prophet in responding to God's grace with great joy? And why shouldn't we celebrate the gift of freedom from our sin as we celebrate the gift of freedom in our country? Again, why shouldn't we celebrate the gift of freedom from sin, along with the celebration of the freedoms we concentrate on this week and in just a couple of days in our country? Notice the words in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. So I looked up salvation. This is what Webster says: deliverance from the power and effects of sin. Does that make you feel better about hearing about Christmas in July? I hope it does. The biblical definition is God's grace. It is the gift of freedom from our sins that Jesus made possible by taking the punishment for our sins on the cross of Calvary. The cry is out. No longer do I need to worry or even consider what the outcome of my life will be. No longer will I need to care that my family is oppressed, my economic condition is oppressed, and at times, if you're all with me here, your mind is depressed. But a way has been provided. The way of salvation from all that weighs me down is available for me to tap into. And Isaiah goes on in verse 3 to say, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Can you grasp that feeling in your heart that Isaiah the prophet felt when he realized that the hope that God had provided was in himself for the nation of Israel? Chapter 11 of Isaiah sets the stage. It's in that chapter that we find the story of the lion laying down with the lamb, the wild beast laying down with the lamb. It tells there of no jealousy between nations, no jealousy between brothers and sisters. And it tells when the Lord will establish his throne before all the people so that all can see. And then in chapter 12, we find these words, in that day, with joy, in that day, verse 1, with joy, verse 3, you will draw water from the source of joy, from the wells of salvation. And the source of joy, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is Jesus Christ. That Isaiah used this metaphor, drawing water from a well, is not really strange. It was really meaningful to people in a dry and arid land, easy for them to understand. In addition, the people of Israel had their history to draw on. God had provided their ancestors with fresh water as they traveled through the desert with Moses. Jeremiah had grieved because the people of his nation had committed sin, saying, they have forsaken God, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. What an encouragement and source of joy. And I'm talking joy here. I'm not talking happiness. There is a world of difference between happiness and joy. A Christmas present can bring you happiness. A new baby can bring you happiness. A new grandchild, and I'm probably not going to throw that in the second service, but for you all, a new grandchild, that can bring you happiness. These people had to know that they could draw water from the wells of salvation. And that same encouragement and joy is ours today as we come to understand that God is not a cistern. Now, some of you are old enough to know, to remember cisterns. Can I get a show of hands? Oh, wow. A bunch of you are old enough to know, to remember cisterns. Most of you probably know what a cistern is. In most cases, it's a hole dug in the ground and then lined with concrete or cement that's used to store water. And sometimes the rains don't come, and sometimes the supply is shallow. And sometimes it rains too much, and you got to open the downspouts and let the water out so the thing doesn't break. Jeremiah says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Cisterns have limits. Cisterns are subject to leakage and destruction, but God is not a cistern. God's great salvation is described as a flowing stream, the source of the water of life. And the water of life is always fresh. Always fresh. The water of life is always abundant in supply. Never stops. God is the source of living water, period. When I think of God as the source of living water, I often picture him not as a cistern limited in quantity or capacity, or even a pond which can get stagnant. Anybody here ever smell a stagnant pond? Oh, a few of you. Yeah. Not fun. In the case, I think of God rather as a reservoir of flowing water, where man has built a possible reservoir. There's a stream that runs into it and creates a resulting lake. And then that stream keeps filling it up and filling it up and filling it up until it gets to the spillway level, and then it overflows. That's how I picture God. It's how I picture what He has done for me in my life, and what He has done for some of you, can do for all of us, to be a reservoir of fresh water all the time. I know we just had a dry spring. Some reservoirs got a little low. But at our house, we did not lose water. We had it, and I knew why. Because God was still God. Listen to this description from Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great city. God is not a cistern, folks. His abundance flows all the time, and He wants to share it with you and with me. Of course, He didn't have to wait until He was full of His own love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control before He could share it with you and me. Those are the gifts of God, by the way, just in case you wonder what that list was. The stream from God flows all the time. It is never ending, and it's fresh, and it's available. He's not a reservoir in that sense, but He's a reservoir in the sense that He can give freely of Himself to all who receive Him at no cost, no loss to His abundant supply. Isaiah tells us here that you can draw from these wells of salvation with joy, knowing that your needs will be met, and that the supply is abundant and it will never run out. Another important thing we need to grasp is this: the water of life is always free. It cost God the life of His one and only Son. But it's free for you and for me. All you need to do for salvation is to ask for forgiveness of your sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and then you can drink freely from the water of life for as long as you choose, no matter what comes up in your life. There is a catch. It's a small catch, but it's a large catch. No one can draw from the springs of living water for you. You must draw your own water. Each one must recognize and relate to and respond to the resources God makes available to us through Jesus. You must not let yourself be impoverished at this point. You can't. No one can keep you from drawing refreshment from God through His Word, but no one can draw it for you at the same time. I've spent hours reading my Bible. I got a fresh message yesterday, a message I needed to hear. I won't share it with you, it was for me. But that's what happens when you get into God's Word. You see, I'd caution you in this way. We need to be careful not to seek joy and fulfillment and security or salvation in the wrong way or in the wrong place. We can bring happiness into our lives, but we can't bring joy into our lives apart from Jesus Christ. He's the only way. The world offers many avenues of temptation, many avenues of pleasure, alleyways of indulgence. For those of you that didn't like the word indulgent and you thought, oh, he really messed that up. It says indulgence, I just didn't read it right. Sorry. Many means by which we, through our own efforts, our own decisions, can find happiness. But there's only one way to find joy, and that is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The world offers many avenues, but it offers to happiness, but it offers very little joy. Think about it. We're going to celebrate the freedoms of our nation 2 days from now. And if you're not praying for our nation now, you should be. I challenge you, because a lot of our freedoms are being taken away. Over here, I'll say, because our elected officials forgot they worked for us. Now, you didn't hear that. They've forgotten that. But we can still celebrate, and probably will. I know that at where we live, we've invited people to come because you can see every firework right there. Where we used to live in Waynesboro, I could see the fireworks in Waynesboro. I could see the fireworks at Fort Ritchie. We celebrated. But it wasn't with joy. And what's important in any sort of relationship, we have to have this relationship with God. And what's important in any sort of relationship is growing closer to one another. You need to grow closer and closer and closer to God, recognizing who He is and that He is the creator of all things, including you. I lost a good friend this week. Great friend. We grew closer and closer and closer through a wonderful, wonderful relationship. I will miss him. What's important in any sort of relationship is growing closer to one another. It is a must, folks, that we continue to grow closer and closer to God if we're going to claim to be a Christian. And God never moves. He's always there. I've heard it expressed this way in a song. If you used to trust in Jesus, but now you're away from God, guess who moved? Guess who moved? How much of God and His wealth is available to us? One writer put it this way, my father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. And if you have established a relationship with God through acceptance of Jesus Christ into your life, and on a continuous relationship building program and you an ongoing repentance of your sinful ways. We call it sanctification, but sanctification seems to be an ending point. I call it repentance of your continual sinful ways. God forgives you. Jesus has covered all of your sins on the cross of Calvary. Does that mean you never mess up? No. It means that when you do mess up, you go to God and you say, Lord Jesus. And he says, I covered that. If you're building this relationship with Jesus Christ, then you can sing the chorus of that song. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I am a child of the King. I encourage you today to draw water from the wells of salvation. The source of this refreshment, this change-making living water, is the well of God, the streams of God. The words of our text should bring us to great personal encouragement. They should assure us of Christ's availability in our every time of need. The challenge of our text is very personal in application. You must draw your own water from the wells of salvation. To neglect brings poverty in your spiritual lives. To postpone is unwise. I said I lost a friend this week. You see, no one knows what tomorrow may bring. I said the last time I was here and speaking, we're all only one heartbeat away from eternity. Hasn't changed. Let the Christ of Christmas come into your heart. Let the Christ of Christmas bring you living water, the living water of life, that you can draw from the wells of salvation throughout all your days and have the joy of the Lord living within you forever. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, thank you. I had several messages laying out. And I ask you to show me which one you wanted for this day, 2 days before Independence Day. It seemed that you wanted me to remind people of the day of their independence from sin and the presence of the Holy Spirit within, knowing, having received Christ as their Savior, they're forgiven. So, Lord God, I pray that as we celebrate Independence Day, we find ourselves enslaved only to you. And that you would use each one to settle issues and to help our church move forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I could just say amen and walk away. But I've chosen not to do that because I want to share this with you. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Now, you just sang for your children and their children and their children and their children. There's only one way for that to happen, folks. If you introduce somebody, their children, and then their children's children, and their children's children, to the Christ Jesus that you know. And if you're here and you don't know him, don't go away without talking to me. Because I know the way. Let's pray together. Father, go with us as we go. Help us to live fully for you, drinking and drinking and drinking at the springs of living water. Watch over us as we witness to others. Help us to never look at somebody sadly without offering help. And never look at somebody, Lord, in need without offering help. Use us in whatever way you want to bring someone to you for praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.